Hi, Pastor Brandon here for our readings for Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. Today, we're going to be digging into Psalm 27, 1 through 6, Genesis 46, 28 through 47, 31, Matthew 16, 21 through 28. We'll be starting with Psalm 27, 1 through 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamped against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Genesis 46, 28 through 47, 31. He had sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to show the way before him in Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. Then Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face and know that you are still alive." Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household who were in the land of Canaan have come to me, and the men and shepherds, for they have been keepers of livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. When Pharaoh calls you and says, "What is your occupation?" you shall say, "Your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth, even until now, both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." So Joseph went in and told Pharaoh, "My father and my brothers, with their flocks and herds and all that they possess, have come to the land of Canaan, from the land of Canaan. They are now in the land of Goshen." And from among his brothers, he took five men and presented them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, as our fathers were." They said to Pharaoh, "We have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. And now, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Sell your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them settle in the land of Goshen. And if you know any able men among them, put them in charge of the livestock." Then Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and stood him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How many are the days of the years of your life?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Then Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with food according to the number of their dependents. Now, there was no food in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan in exchange for the grain that they brought in, they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money was all spent in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? For our money is gone." And Joseph answered, "Give your livestock, and I will give you food in exchange for your livestock, if your money is gone." So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them food in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the herds, and the donkeys. He supplied them with food in exchange for all the livestock that year. And when that year was ended, they came to him the following year and said to him, "We will not hide from my lord that our money is all spent. The herds of livestock are my lord's. There is nothing left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for food, and we with our land will be servants to Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, and that the land may not be desolate." So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for all the Egyptians sold their fields because the famine was severe on them. The land became Pharaoh's. As for the people, he made servants of them from one end of Egypt to the other. Only the land of the priest he did not buy, for the priest had a fixed allowance from Pharaoh and lived on the allowance that Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their land. Then Joseph said to the people, "Behold, I have this day bought you and your land for Pharaoh. Now here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land, and at the harvest you shall give a fifth to Pharaoh, and four-fifths you shall be your own, as seed for the field, and as food for yourselves and your household, and as for your little ones." And they said, "You have saved our lives. May it please my lord, we will be servants to Pharaoh." So Joseph made it a statute concerning the land of Egypt, and it stands to this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth. The land of the priest alone did not become Pharaoh's. Thus Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it, and were fruitful and multiplied greatly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the days of Jacob, the years of his life, were 147 years. And when the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh and promise to deal kindly and truly with me. Do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place." He answered, "I will do as you have said." And he said, "Swear to me." And he swore to him. Then Israel bowed himself upon the head of his bed. Matthew 16, 21 through 28. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man who gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of our Lord in our readings for Wednesday, February 19th. I want to turn to Matthew today, and I really want to talk about what Matthew addresses. This is right after the famed moment where Peter proclaims that you are the Christ. And it's here where Jesus explains what this means. And Peter says, "Far be it, Lord, far be it. This shall never happen to you." And then we have this harsh rebuke from Jesus. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And what this teaches us is that even when it finally clicks and we finally see who Jesus is, what Jesus has come to do, and that Jesus is the Christ, when we finally see this, we too can fall into a trap of not fully understanding what that means and being led by the things of man, being led by ourselves, and not having our mind set on Christ and who Christ is, having our mind set on the things of God. And this is where Jesus reminds us, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take his cross and follow me." Now, we need to understand what this means, because there's a long disconnect between our time and their time, our culture and their culture. The cross meant one and one thing only: death. Sure, we hang crosses on our walls, we put crosses in paintings, we put crosses everywhere because it's a symbol of our faith. But in this time period, it was a symbol of shame. It was a symbol of defeat. It was a symbol of a criminal. It was a symbol of death. This was not a good thing. Sure, we may have people, and we may at times walk with a cross on our back across the town or something like that, which is awesome that people do that. But it meant so much more than just the burden of carrying a cross. It meant to die with Jesus, which means to give Jesus our life in such a way that even if we would lose it for his sake, we would find it. That is what Jesus is teaching us here, that we are to seek after him even to the point of death. Death on a cross. Even when we get the picture sometimes, we can fall into the trap of the thinking and the culture of this world. We can fall into the thinking of the culture of this world and lose sight on the things of God. May we pray today and every day that God would continually set our eyes upon him, that we would always be able to look towards Christ and his cross as the path of our lives. And more importantly, look to the resurrection as the victory we will experience after we too take up our crosses, denying ourselves to follow after him. Heavenly Father, help us do this. Help us take up our cross, whatever that would mean in our lives in this present place, in this present time, where we are presently at. Help us to understand what this means, to fully do this, to not half-heartedly do it, but to fully do it, and to avoid the trap of the enemy, to say, surely not. That's surely not what you're going to do, Jesus. That's surely not what you would have us do, Jesus. Help us to not fall into that trap, but to take up our cross and follow you into death, but also into life, life everlasting. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen and amen. 'Cause you will see.